Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
All the guys and the ladies that made the Springfest so beautiful, we had an amazing time, and we had a panel of women up here that shared intimate, private things, and were very transparent about their fears or their depressions or their struggles, and God just used them to breathe answers and life into us. And I thought it was just so beautiful, and wanted to thank everybody that was willing to share their hearts and really make this a night that glorified God. And just, you know, when somebody overcomes something, then they have treaded that path for us to overcome too. And so I was just so excited. Well, what God did. One thing that was actually a scripture Kara shared was that in Ephesians 6:12, that our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the powers of darkness. And so sometimes you can get a little focused on darkness, or we have in the past, but look at this here. The truth is, those powers of darkness are in this world, and they may come to tempt, to deceive, to seduce, and to assault us all and our mind. But unless they find a partner to listen or cooperate with them, their evil attempts are futile and powerless. Unless we say, oh, I'm not feeling good today. Oh, I'm not feeling good today. It must be this and that again. And we allow that and focus on that and speak that. If we say, no, right from the beginning when we start having symptoms, no, I'm going against it. I'm going to resist that. You know, if that's the powers of nobody loves you, you're always going to be a loser, anything like that. If we resist those thoughts and do not listen to them or cooperate with them, they're futile. How many of you have had that thought to end your life, but you didn't listen to it and you didn't follow in action with it, and that's why you're alive today? You're alive today because you chose life. You, in that moment, you could choose life. And I think the more we cooperate with the Word of God and the Bible and His good plans and truth, the freer we are, the more we know Him, the more we really bloom. Our subject was, it is time, women, to bloom again. Because when we go through seasons and sometimes through dry spots or depression or difficult seasons, God has a way out. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus wants us to bloom again. And I just wanted to share that with all the guys as well today, that it is time to bloom again. It's time to flourish again. It's time for the truth to be lifted up. And it's time for us to walk in more revelation and then more action and really live in that life that God has planned for us. So be encouraged this morning, because God surely is not done with any of us. And He is good. Let's just, you know, proclaim that He's good. And He sees us as that important, that He wants us to cooperate with Him. To cooperate with Him. You know, He's in heaven. We're down here. He needs us to cooperate with His truth, with His word, with His revelation. Once we do, we really have it. If we just say, oh, that's a good scripture. Oh, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I like that. You can work this out. And if you don't tell your mind, you are a sound mind. You can grab this information. You can work this out, and you act upon it. You have a mental assent to that scripture. That's being religious. That's not really living in it. We really abide in Him in the way we cooperate with Him and we act upon it. So I want to encourage you this morning, if the scripture is not quite clear to you yet, speak on it and let it come alive in you, and then act on it, because that's when you walk in the fulfillment of it and in the fruit of it. That's when you are blooming again. So be encouraged this morning. When you read your Bible, say, show me, God. Bring it alive to me, because I want to act on it so I can activate it from heaven, bring it to earth. So glad to see you all. I'm glad this is an amazing Sunday and you're here with all of us.
Determined. Is anybody out there determined? We are determined people. Last week we had a bunch of people come forward for chronic sickness and be prayed for, and it was amazing. And we had some testimonies of people, pain going away and healing. And so we're thankful for that. So don't let the devil steal what God has given you, okay? Because he immediately wants to steal the word from you. One of the mini books downstairs is the ministry. Those books are ministry. Somebody in our church donates money every month to give those books to you free. So when you take them and read them, just don't read them and leave them there. Obviously read them, then pass them on to somebody. Or if you know somebody that's going through a specific situation and a book answers that question, take that book and give it to them. So use it as a ministry. Those books work so much greater than just a track or something like that. They have a lot of good information in there. And so next week, is it the 24th already, is Stake Your Claim Sunday. You're not going to want to miss that Sunday. So a third time doing it. Miracles have taken place in people's finances and people's lives. And we actually have wooden stakes that we pass out. You write down a dream or a goal that you have for the year. And we take those stakes and we drive them in our front yards. Literally, with that act of faith, we stake our claim for what we're believing God for. And so we'll have some testimonies next week. There's something on our stake that hasn't come to pass. We've been 2 years in a row. We're going to write it again, third year, okay? So it's not like, you know, it's not the instantaneous kind of thing. It's long-term goals, long-term thinking. God, what do you want for my life? This is what I'm believing long-term for. Amen? So I'm believing for it. I'm determined to see God's promises come to pass. And we all want to progress forward in our thinking. We all want to progress forward. We all want to get unstuck in certain areas. But you can't progress forward unless you actually change your thinking. Because if your thinking isn't changed and you've got backward thinking, you're never going to be able to progress forward to where God wants you to go. So you've got to change your thoughts. You've got to change your thinking. So this morning I want to talk about being unstuck and getting free from poverty mentality. Getting free from poverty mentality. Average people, average Christians, think money is the root of all evil. It's not true. You know, rich people believe that poverty is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So when we put money first above God, but money is useful. How many would agree? Money is useful. You don't have money, you can't live. Can't pay your bills. Can't pay your mortgage. You won't have a car. You won't be able to do anything. You know, if you don't have a car here in the Northwest, you know, taking a bus is a long process. Especially if you live in a neighborhood where there's no bus service and you got to walk a few miles to a bus station. So having a car is a big deal. Paying your bills is a big deal. Getting an apartment is a big deal. You know, so we need money to live. And God wants to provide as a father for us. So the first point that I want to make this morning is we've got to free ourselves from poverty mentality. The Bible promises not just provision, but promises abundant provision. This is one of those shouting services, all right? You guys can respond. The more you shout, the more fired up I get, all right? Abundant. I talked to the men about this yesterday at men's breakfast. The same thing. And I was just like, I didn't know even know what to do last night. I'm thinking, okay, what direction? And the Holy Spirit's like, poverty mentality. Break it down. And I think to myself, when's the last time I preached on that? I looked at all my notes because I have them all on my computer. It was years ago. And many of you weren't even here. I think too many times we just live memories from finances, fear and worry. A lot of it is rooted in memories from past experiences. If you grew up, I grew up in a home, my parents were amazingly loving, hardworking people, but we didn't have a lot of money. And my mom was one of the most frugal budgeters that existed. She ran our household like a military complex. You ever met my mom? Eventually, my mom became an accountant. That's what she was, and she was an accountant for all of the mental health homes in Massachusetts. She monitored financial contracts. Well, you know what? My mom monitored our financial contract in our home. You didn't get away with anything. It wasn't in the budget. Like we went on vacation every year, but that vacation was budgeted. My dad, he was a meat cutter. He worked for a grocery store, and he used to get those big meat boxes. You know, the boxes where the meat came in. And they kind of had a little smell of still residual beef in there. But my mom would get all those boxes in our cellar. We lived in a house that was almost 200 years old in New England. She would put them all down there. And every time my mom went shopping, she would buy something towards vacation and bring it down in the cellar and pack the boxes. you know, boxes of this, cans of that. So by the time vacation came, we had everything we needed to pack our Ford station wagon. Come on, with the seats that raised up in the back, you know, they faced each other. We love that as kids because you didn't have to wear seatbelts back then. You can just jump over the seats, you know. We had the paneling on the side, you know what I'm talking about? And we had to drive 2 hours to the beach. It was the worst 2 hours of my mother's life. Because the kids, she'd be like, you know how you drive with one hand and you're doing this with the other? Sit down. Sit down. We're on the highway. If I got to stop this car, you're in trouble. But we didn't have a lot. Everything was hand-me-downs. Everything was sales. But you know what? We were happy people. Are you out there? Remember when you were happy people? Hard for people to think sufficiency, much less abundance. And what this does is it keeps a person from giving, from sharing, or investing what they have. And in this economy, we have so many economic doomsayers. It's like, we were at the new farmer's market at Mount Hood Community College yesterday, and I'm walking past the Bernie Sanders college students who are promoting Bernie Sanders. I'm thinking, don't you get it? I mean, what? Free college. Okay, for example, someone's going to have to pay for it. You know, there's buildings to be paid for. There's heat to be paid for. There's salaries to be paid for. Teachers aren't going to teach for free just because they're so in love with socialism. I'm like, I'm just going to do this for free out of the bottom of my heart. Somebody's going to have to pay. It's just ridiculous. Are you guys kidding? Are you kidding me? Thank God for our capital life society. Thank God for the ability to actually dream about a better life. Dream about making more money. Dream about having sufficiency. Dream about being generous people. Dream about changing nations, changing cities, changing cultures. Amen? And not just because you won the lottery, but because God is blessing you. Because you understand the principles of giving and receiving and sowing and reaping and all these biblical principles and promises of God. Hallelujah. There's a book, it's called God Wants You to Be Rich by Paul Zane Pilsner. It's not a Christian book, but basically in this book, it says that we've been taught to live in a world of finite resources and that we never achieve complete success we deserve because we believe that it comes from the expense of others. God wants us to be rich in every way. Love, health, family, peace of mind, finances. An individual's success is good for everyone. Because wealth begets wealth for everyone. For everyone. In a socialistic society, if you're going to be taking from the rich will become, the business owners will become unmotivated to grow their businesses and jobs disappear. Are you out there? Hallelujah. A society's wealth is not determined by the sum of its physical resources, which are supposedly limited, but by the human ingenuity, which constantly redefines what is a resource in the first place. Are you out there? In the 19th century, they went and all the whales in the ocean were decreasing, so blubber decreased. What were they using blubber for? All kinds of stuff. Heating, oil. It was a resource, but it decreased. And as technology changed, the way we heated our homes changed, what we ate changed. And then all of a sudden, they found this black ooze coming out of the earth. Ah, black gold, Texas tea. Ooh. Yeah, you're showing your age now because you watched that show. Oil coming out of the ground. Woo! Hallelujah. What can we use this for? Everything. We use it for everything. All of a sudden, this becomes a resource. It becomes a commodity. People start investing in it and digging for it. And we have so much of it in America that's not even tapped into. Can somebody say, please, please vote for a president that approves the pipeline? Somebody say amen. We're getting a little political today, huh? but please. And what about the silicon chip? Anybody out there? You know it's made out of sand? Hello? Do you know that we have silicon chip manufacturers right here in Gresham? Hallelujah, right down the street from us. Are you out there? Our economic system rewards those who make the largest positive impact by fulfilling the wishes and the needs of the most people. Find something that somebody wants and invent it. That's why I love Shark Tank. Anybody watch Shark Tank? These guys sitting on this panel get all this money to invest in all of these businesses. I mean, they've made billions over the years. And some of these guys come in with the craziest ideas. Some of them come in with an idea every now and then that's like, wow. And you think to yourself, why didn't I think of that? Or you thought to yourself, I thought about that years ago. But you didn't do anything with it. Why not? You know that in order to get where those people are, to actually be presented on Shark Tank, they've worked hard. A lot of them have sold their houses. A lot of them have went into debt, taken risks, taken chance in order to bring this product to market, in order to have it manufactured, to bring it to market. And here they are needing more money as an investment to boost their business. I really believe there's never a legit get-rich-quick scheme. There's never. If somebody comes up to you and says, hey, if you invest $1,000 on this, you're going to get 100% return. All you got to do is invest in this. And you know what? We've done that. Anybody done that before? You know, we've lost, you know, not a lot of money, but we've taken a little bit of risk here and there and done some dumb things. I still got some Iraqi dinars if anybody wants to buy them. Anybody want to buy those? I'll sell them to you, pennies on the dollar. Thinking the country's going to get stable after, you know, Saddam Hussein is killed and they're going to reevaluate the dinar and it's going to go shoot up. That was the prediction. Well, it's not very stable right now, is it? So God's increase in blessing comes from the faithful management of what he is giving, proving to him that we are capable of being trusted and that we can handle more. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Bernie Sanders has never read this chapter in the Bible. Are you out there? Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14, it says again, and if you're voting for Bernie Sanders, please, don't leave the church. Thank you. You can believe what you want to believe, but let me try to influence you a little bit this morning, okay? Verse 14, his servants, and entrust, it will be like a man going on a journey. 5 talents of all his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. Each according to his ability. Then he went on a journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money, which is what? Somebody who has dealing with poverty mentality and fear of the past, of what has happened to them. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought another 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. He replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things, and I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. Now the man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. All happy, he's thinking to himself, see, I didn't lose it. His master replied, look what his response was. This is a parable. Jesus is talking here. Said, you wicked, lazy servant. Calls him wicked. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and I gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have returned. I posited it, right, with the bankers. Now look what Jesus says. This is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Everybody say the Son of God. Everybody say he only spoke what the Father told him to. So this comes from heaven. He said this, take the talent from him. Doesn't sound like socialism, does it? Take it from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more and he will have an abundance. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why is he going to have an abundance? Well, because he was entrusted with it, right? According to his own ability. God trusted him with it. God blessed him with it. He says, whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him and throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everybody say that's it. Okay, this is in my opinion now. Lazy American generation. What would Jesus say if he was here? I mean, it's almost coming close to cursing here. You know what I'm talking about? It's like right on the edge. You know how it is, you know, with your kids, you're right on the edge. Trying to get through to you. Almost cursing. So what does this all have to do? Really, Jesus is talking to us about biblical stewardship. Taking care of. Stewardship is the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Hallelujah. This is the parable of the shrewd manager. And Jesus demands that they give account for what was given to them. The parable of the talents tells the story and gives us many truths about the stewardship of life. Many times I believe we misunderstand what biblical stewardship is. So what about this? What about what it's not? It's not being a miser or a tightwad. Many Christian groups believe that it is our holy duty to abstain from luxuries that provide pleasure. Are you out there? Now, that doesn't mean that we do not make wise decisions about what we purchase and what we do with our finances, right? And of course, if we trust God and put him first, he said that all those things will be added unto us. What are things? Things are things. Things that you need. Does anybody out there need some new clothes? Things. 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 Stewardship does not mean to be frugal as well. Many times people are so concentrated about being frugal and they are plagued by a poverty mentality. This is true even for people that have enough money. So it's not even in the amount of money that you have. The poverty mentality keeps them from enjoying what they have because they're so focused on what they can't afford. Stewardship is not about what you have, but it's about what are you doing with what you have. Because everybody has something. Everybody's got something. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that if you're faithful in what you have, if you're faithful in the small amounts, then God can entrust you with the larger amounts. Amen? That's exciting. But we all have unique and financial circumstances. We all have different circumstances. But the one thing that we do have in common is that God has entrusted us with resources. God has blessed us with resources. Now, you guys know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So we look at what God has given us, and we thank God for what he's given us. But you also need to look at beyond the financial realm, beyond the checkbook. What has he given you in the talent realm? What has he given you in the passion realm? What has he given you talent-wise that eventually could become a hobby? And eventually that hobby could actually turn into some kind of income-producing venture. Be writing a book, starting a business, something that you're passionate about. We talked to this about the men yesterday. There's got to be some kind of a passion on the inside of you. Thank God for your job, right? Your job is something that you do because you know at this point you've got to provide for your family. You've got to pay your bills. You've got to do this. But instead of wasting time and complaining about, see, last week you got healed, so now you got more energy to do all the things that God wants you to do after work, right? And you can get home and you can say, God, I thank you for this passion that I have. I'm going to start researching it out. See, all of these businesses and all of these financial ventures, like if you watch Shark Tank, if you see what's going on there, they all started in their garage, you know? It's like these garage businesses. And the panel will ask, I rented a place. And he's like, you're making all of these right now in your garage? Yep, you should see the production. Somewhere that passion started inside of them. They invested. They put it to work. You know, they're working their 40-hour job, but they're putting 20, 30 hours in this at nighttime and on the weekends. Believing that somehow that this thing that they're putting their hand to will be blessed. They're going to take that gift that's on the inside. Basically, number two is this. They're willing to decrease. You got to be willing to decrease. What does Dave Ramsey talk about? It's rice and beans, beans and rice. Can't go out and buy steak. Sorry, folks. Sorry, guys. Rice and beans, beans and rice. We're going to set this budget and we are going to invest. Well, right now, you think to yourself, I can't afford that second home that I want as an investment property. Well, maybe you can. Have you talked to someone? You know what I've always found? There's always an answer to my question. Are you out there? There's always an answer to my question. I'm looking for the answer. Looking to solve the problem. And in the midst of moving forward, you know, the devil will fight you with your finances as much as he will fight you for not receiving healing for your body. Because he does not want you to progress forward, does not want you to move forward, does not want you to have any more money. God forbid if you had any more money, you start giving it away. You start paying for someone, right? God forbid you'd start tithing at a church. Oh my gosh. God forbid you would, you know, sign up to give to a Watoto child. So the devil doesn't want you to have any more money. So there's always going to be problems. There's always going to be barriers that you've got to overcome. You've got to know how to pray. You've got to know how to warfare. You've got to know how to speak to those mountains and command them to be removed. Amen. I told the guys the story about the first piece of investment property we bought. We had no clue what we were doing. No clue. It was an acre of property. Beautiful. I went to the bank to try to get a loan, and they looked at the plat map, and the plat map had a 1-foot gap between there and the platted road. The road wasn't even there. The bank says, we can't give you a loan to build a house on the property because it's not connected to, you know, a public roadway, and you need to have access in order to get a loan. I mean, can we build a little bridge, you know, 1 foot, you know, I don't know, put in a little asphalt? I don't know. He's like, no, legally. So for months, I was like, oh my gosh, I wasted my money. But on the inside, I knew I didn't waste my money because God would have never led us to buy that piece of property. So what are you going to do? Well, you're calling surveyors and you're calling the county and you're making, how many know you, eventually you'll stop making phone calls and God will inspire you on the inside. Well, call this person. How many know you got to be willing and bold to get back on the phone? You got to ask, what do you got to do? Ask more questions. See too many times Christians, you've prayed enough. Now put it into action and make the phone calls. Because faith without action is dead, right? Make the phone calls. Go to the store. Talk to the person. Pursue, 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 and be determined. I am not going to give up. I did not waste my money. Are you out there? I'm determined to see this house being built and this investment to be profitable. And so finally, I go to the county and I pull up the maps because a lot of the old plat maps aren't even filed correctly. They're on some kind of film machine. So finally, I look there and I see at the computer anymore. You know how government is so far behind technologically, right? So finally, I look there and I see at the bottom of the original plat map, I find the original surveying company. And then I go on Google. How many know Google is close to God? It begins with a G, right? So I go on Google and I find the phone number of the company. And I look and I call the guy up. He's not even in business anymore. He's like talking to me and he's like, we're trying to figure out a solution. What can we do? He goes, I don't know. Let me call the county. I'll help you out. How many know you have favor with man? Favor with people. He finally calls me back after a couple of weeks and he says, well, you know what? I talked to the county and the road going alongside of the property that you own is 30 feet wide on the plat map. Mostly all the roads in that whole area are 40 feet wide. We're not sure why they platted that road 30 feet wide. So I asked the county that if I can just redraw it, I'll charge you $500. I'll redraw the map to a 40-foot wide road and that will make access so you can build your house. And I would say, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Woo. Problem solved. But you know what? I could have just sat there. I was like, oh my gosh, we wasted our money. Well, we can picnic on this property. Which we did. Maybe it was so steep, maybe we can build a little flat area where we can pull a trailer onto it. And how many know a home without a foundation isn't as valuable as a home with a foundation, right? And thinking, I want to build a home with a foundation. I don't know how I'm going to get it up here, but we're going to do it. But God will lead you and guide you. Holy Spirit, he will lead you to paths of success for his name's sake. And you need to believe that everything you put your hand to will prosper. Amen? Everything you put your hand, you got to be willing to decrease. All successful people have had to decrease before they've increased. There was a price that needed to be paid. Whether it's college costs, whether it's internships, whether it's investment, time. See, average people lived beyond their means, themselves in both lived below their means. And then eventually they get so much in debt, all they're paying off is a little bit of interest every month, and that $10,000 card ends up being, in the next 25 years, a $40,000 payment. Average people know how to decrease. Over time, the one who decreased over the years begins to exceed and invest in himself. He begins to increase and succeed over those that did not. Hallelujah. Now, you don't need to get a higher education to be successful, but a higher education is a good thing. I think one of the most valuable things about getting a higher education is actually divine connections. You get to meet people that have the answer to the next step of your life. You get to hang around with people that are educated, that have experience. Amen? And so education, I believe, is important. It gets you into that realm of people that are thinkers. Investing in yourself is one of the greatest things you could ever do for yourself. Hallelujah. So buying, if you can't afford to go to school, buy books. Take one class, your thinking. How many know iron sharpens iron? That's what we do in men's breakfast. We talk about all kinds of things. Iron sharpens iron. And I believe that as we even discuss, even before we have any kind of Bible study at men's breakfast, I believe that that the Holy Spirit is working in the midst of us. And as we talk about different subjects, iron sharpens iron, and a Holy Spirit thought comes up. Like, aha, I've never thought about that. Aha, maybe that's my confirmation for what God's already placed inside me. Maybe I need to move forward and start researching that idea out for the next step that God has for me. Anybody out there this morning? Listen to this. Being willing to decrease is a huge thing. The excuse of those who have poverty mentality is this: I can't afford to pay my tithes. Can't afford to pay my tithes, right? Exactly. If you want God's blessing in your life, if you want the resources of heaven, which is unlimited wisdom and favor and blessing, the first place should be, I am going to prove God's word with my tithes and my offering. Amen? I've proven it for the last 20, 30 years. And many here have. That the 90, God will cause the 90% to explode as compared to you consuming the whole 100%. He will open up the windows of heaven. We think about money coming out of the windows of heaven. You know what the windows of heaven are? They're supernatural inspiration and ideas from the throne room of God for your life. God brings to light the talent, the ability. All of a sudden, he begins to open doors and opportunities that you could never open in the natural by yourself. But because the windows of heaven are being opened because of your obedience to do what he's asked you to do, all of a sudden you're in a place 10 years, 20 years down the road that you could never get there in the natural by yourself. And you look back and you say, it's because of his favor and blessing on my life. I could never be where I am today. I would never have what I have. I could never be in the job that I'm at if it wasn't for me saying, okay, if I look at my checkbook, I can't afford it, but I heard Pastor Bob say, you can't afford not to. It's true, guys. Absolutely true. God wants to bless you. The house of God that you're planted in is where your tithes go. Amen? It's the storehouse. Look at 2 Chronicles 31:21. I found this scripture yesterday, and I loved it. It says, every work, 2 Chronicles 31:21, every work which began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, basically putting him first, he did with all his heart and prospered. God first. And prospered. Put the house first. Seeking us first. And everything he did with all of his heart. And he prospered. And he prospered. Trust God with your eternal future and finances. Amen? Why is it so hard sometimes to trust God in the financial area? When we say things, I can't afford to tithe, you can't afford not to. We're learning about investment. We're learning about increase. And Christians will say this all the time. Here's another religious statement. Well, I don't give to get. Like, really? Okay, well, that's unbiblical. I surely do give to get. It's not my primary motivation. But the Bible says that there's seed time and harvest. Amen? System. God created seed time and harvest. He created this system, this monetary system. He provides seed for the sower. You, as a farmer, have to decide that when you harvest your crop, what seed you're going to put aside for the next year. Normally, you're going to take the best seed from the crop. You're not going to eat that seed, and you're not going to sell that seed. You're going to take the seed from that crop, and you're going to set it aside. You're going to dry it out. You're going to save it for the next year. Amen? If you eat that, what happens the next year? You have no seed to plant. You have nowhere to go. You basically, your farm is a one-season farm. You're done. You need to go get a job, or you're going to lose that farm. God provides you seed. That 10% is your seed. Now, you may be doing fine now, but what's going to happen 5 years from now? Because it's not an instant. Tithing and offering and being a generous person is not an instant get rich kind of thing. Right? It's what's going to happen 5 years from now if you eat your seed? What's going to happen 10 years from now if you eat your seed? What's going to happen 20-year generation if you continue to eat your... What's going to happen if you don't tithe and you don't teach your kids to tithe? What's going to happen? And you can do whatever you want. But I'm praying you get a revelation this morning about this. Amen? God doesn't need your money. God set up this system in order to set up a divine intervention in your financial future. He wants to bless you. And the reason why he took from the one who dug his talent in the ground because he wasn't trusted to invest it where it needed to be invested. Didn't even put it in the bank. Through fear and trepidation, he hid it. God doesn't want you to be a miser. Doesn't want you to hide things. Take a risk on God. Take a chance on God. Take a chance on his word. And you know what happens? This is money is one of those things that God can literally prove to you that he's still alive, that he's not dead. Amen? He's like, hey, I saw you started tithing. Hey, I saw you gave more than your tithe. You gave an offering. All of a sudden, things you've been praying for begin to pop. Boom, boom, boom. Things begin to happen. Why didn't I just obey? And you think to yourself, why didn't I start giving? Waste me. Test me. Go ahead. Just try it out. That's how God is. God is gracious. He's loving. He's kind. There's no condemnation. But he's like, hey, listen, here's an opportunity. If you're doubting my existence, let me prove to you in the financial realm that I'm alive. That I'm alive. That I want to bless you. Psalm 1:1-3 says this. How blessed is the man. Everybody say blessed. Come on, say blessed. Who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Those are those guys that sit around and complain, oh, I just don't have enough. Those are the people that live on barely get along street, right? Oh, man, every month, I just know how it's going to work. Don't know how I'm going to make it, you know? Scoffers. But his delight, what's your delight in? Your delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. You begin to meditate on it day and night. You begin to find these scriptures, these prosperity scriptures, success scriptures, you begin to meditate on, you begin to think about it. In order to have sick of being sick, and I'm sick of being poor. So let the weak say I am strong, and let the poor say I am rich. I am determined not to be sick, and I'm determined not to be poor. And God doesn't mind if I'm rich. Amen? There is nothing humble about you being poor. Nothing humble about it. His delight is in the word of God. He meditates on it day and night. And what happens? He is like a tree firmly planted by the streams of water, which do what? They yield their fruit in its season. How many know your season is coming? And its leaf does not wither. And look it. And whatever he does. Whatever he does, prospers. Whatever I do, I prosper. Look at the stipulations here. You're blessed because you're not hanging around with jerks, right? You're not hanging around with people who are naysayers and negative and, you know, just, you know, they're down on life. They're down on America. They're down on the economy. They're down. They're just naysayers. Naysayers, naysayers. How many know when real estate is down, there's an investment to buy cheap? Amen? They're just naysayers, naysayers. Well, don't do that. Don't take a risk. You know what? No risk, no reward. No risk, no reward. Hallelujah. And they don't stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of scoffers. They're delighting in God's word. What are you talking about? They're in church. Amen. They're planted in the house of the Lord. They found a good family to be a part of. And this is my church, and this is where I come to worship Jesus. Amen. And I'm not only just a consumer. Hallelujah. I'm a contributor. Not just a consumer, I'm a contributor. I'm going to start giving. I'm going to start being a part. Pastor Bob, where do you need help with? Well, I need somebody to clean the toilets. That's me. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Got to start somewhere, right? I got want to mow. I need somebody to mow the lawn out back. I need somebody to do this. I need somebody to wash the windows. I need somebody to do it. Pastor Bob, I want to work with the children. We need some more people, actually. If you want to obey God, I need some more people to help in the nursery. Jennifer's left and... I'm going to sign once a week, work with the babies. I'm going to invest into the next generation once a month. Not once a week, once a month. Thank you. And then what happens? You get firmly planted. Firmly planted in God's will. Firmly planted. And then you begin to yield fruit in season. You begin to look forward to the springtime. Yielding that fruit in that season. You begin to look forward to the harvest. Hallelujah. We have so many of those pink flowers coming off trees. People will drive through our neighborhood and they'll say, it's the most beautiful neighborhood. But then after a while, you know what? If you don't do something with those flowers, it turns into chocolate mush on the ground. It gets tracked in your house, and if it rains, it sticks to your car. See, you got to take what God's given you and you got to do something with it. Amen. You just can't trample all over it. You just can't trample over the word of God. You just can't say, oh, well, Pastor Bob, I've heard that message before. Well, maybe you need to take this message and listen to it over and over and over again and meditate on it. If you're stuck in poverty mentality, change your thinking. And number three, focus resources that you have potential. We judge people by exterior things, but God judges the heart. Biblical success begins on the inside. One of the books I recommend that you go buy, it is the book that'll change your thinking. It's called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. How many have read that book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad? If you haven't read that book, you should go order one of those on Amazon. There's probably a bunch of them out there. It's an old book. You can get it for a couple bucks. You probably have to pay more shipping than anything. Goodwill has a lot of them. So Rich Dad, Poor Dad, what does that one book teach us? It teaches us and changes our thinking. Instead of working for money, it teaches us how to take money and make it work for us. How am I going to make this money work for us? Instead of trading my time for dollars, you know, hourly wage, instead of trading my time for dollars, how can I get to the point where I can actually be making money and not trading time for dollars and produce some residual income? Thousands. You know, one successful book can sell thousands of copies. You know, some of these songs that we sing, whether they be Hillsong or Bethel, one successful song will produce for that artist hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do you know how much money Darlene Check made on Shout to the Lord and continues to make? There's a website called CCL. It's here in Portland, invented by a man who goes to City Bible Church. It's here in Portland. CCLI is a website where we as a church pay a yearly fee and we get permission to use all of the Christian worship songs in our church without getting sued by someone. Because before that, anybody years ago that used to take all the worship songs, and if you didn't have hymnals, they would make, you know, photocopies of them all. And they'd put 3-ring binders on them, you know. There were some churches who got majorly sued over that because of copyright laws. And so a guy at City Bible Church said, I'm going to come up with an idea. I'm going to call Hillsong, I'm going to call Bethel, I'm going to call all these other, charge the churches to access that website, and then every year we give an account of how many times we sing Good, Good Father. We send them money for singing that song. They in turn distribute the money to the authors. Smart. Inspirational idea. Do you know now, and when that first started, it was just like, yeah, it's never going to take off. Do you know now that CCLI, every single church in the world puts every one of their worship songs on that website for us to access? And they do it fast now. City Bible Church's songs, you can go on there and find all their songs. It's amazing. One inspiration, one idea, one thing where you put your hand to it, cost some money, it's a risk, could turn into $1 million. Focusing on your personal potential and making money work for you instead of always working for money. You need to understand the difference between a liability and an asset. A liability and asset. What is a boat? Is that a liability or an asset? It's a liability, unfortunately. What is a car? A liability or an asset? It's a liability. The moment you drive it off the lot, it loses its money. The moment you buy that boat, what is a wave runner? A liability or an asset? It's a liability. All those mechanical things are liabilities. Don't cry, Don. You know what? If you can afford it, praise God, right? If you got the money, God's like, hey, you're a tither, you give offerings, go buy one. But here's where we get in trouble. When we can't afford it, we buy it, we rack up debt, we don't have a budget, we can't fulfill the monthly payments, and all of a sudden, who comes knocking on your door? The debt collector is like, guess what? I'm taking your car because really you can't afford a $700 payment for your Denali. Right? A Hey, guys out there, got to be wise. If you can afford it, praise God. But think about, if you want to make money and you want to increase, stop thinking investing in liabilities and start investing into assets. Something that'll produce, something that'll increase. Do you know there's another book called The Millionaire Next Door? Anybody ever read that book? Millionaire Next Door. Do you know that the average millionaire in America owns his own business? Not for everybody. But Money Magazine said this, even in our economy, there's always room for profitable innovations and for ventures that deliver new value. Amen? The millionaire next door. There are over 1 million millionaires in the United States today. The number one characteristic is this. They are passionate about their work and they consider it a contribution to society. They are inspired to do their work with excellence and they have a reason to wake up in the morning. Reason to wake up. You can always tell when you're just kind of floating along in life. If you don't have passion to wake up in the morning and head to work and do what you do, it's probably time for a change. When you got to pry yourself out of that bed and think, oh my gosh, another day with that horrible boss. How about having a goal in the next 5 years to create your own business so you can be your own boss? And you don't need to listen to their craziness. Is it going to be difficult? Is it going to be, yes. Is it going to be easy? No. But eventually, you can get to that place. Average people earn money doing things they don't love. Rich people follow their passion. They tap into their earning potential. And I know this, God has given us all earning potential. Talents that can provide for us substantially. Produce not only bill-paying income, but residual income as well. Trading time for money is limited income. Even doctors trade time for money. As long as they're working, as long as they're doing that operation, they can make money. So that's why you'll see many doctors investing their money in other things. What are doctors investing in now? Well, they've come to the conclusion that the hospitals are charging too much for operations. So now, when you go to have an operation, like my back operation, they don't send you to the hospital anymore. They send you to the surgery center. Anybody ever experienced that? You know, I didn't go to Adventist. I went to the surgery center in Clackamas. Showed up late, 4 o'clock in the morning, pouring rain. My wife lets me off. I'm the first one there. I walk in. I'm thinking, what is this place? A little research. There's like 10 or 12 doctors who actually invested into this surgery center so that they don't have to give the cut to the hospital for using their operating rooms. So they can what? Make more money. And for us, it's cheaper too. Reduce their cost. In part, amazing things God can lead you and guide you in. If you're stuck in poverty mentality, or you're stuck in a job that you don't like, I want to give you hope this morning. There is an answer for your life. Amen. You think, well, I'm just 55. I'm going to be 54. I don't have many more years left. Are you crazy? People are living in their 80s and 90s. I got another 30 years left. You don't want to retire. You want to refire. Amen. People that retire eventually die a few years later. I don't want that to happen, right? I want to be a ripe old age, continuing to do what God's asked me to do, continuing to progress forward, continuing to go experience new ventures, meet new people, go new places. Amen. Go on new mission trips. Go do new things. Want to live life to the fullest and experience the abundant life. But guess what? You can't afford to go on the mission field without a plane ticket. And it costs money. Amen. For a hotel when you get there. And when you get there, you don't want to bring nothing. You want to bring $10,000, $20,000 so you can invest into that mission's work there. The ability to write a check. The ability to invest. The ability to have that income above and beyond the bottom line, God wants to bless you with that. give you an idea. Say, for example, write a book. You guys all know J.K. Rowling, right, who wrote the Harry Potter series? Rowling's life was a mess. She was living on public assistance in a tiny Edinburgh flat with her infant daughter. Now, we know that Rowling wrote the Harry Potter series. You know where she wrote it? When her daughter was taking naps, she would go to the cafe down the street and she would begin to write the book. You guys know what happened. Rowling's now, her salary is 6 times greater than the Queen of England. She worked on the book for 5 years, finding quiet moments while her daughter napped. Several publishers turned her down before one took an interest. Amen? She said this, yes, ever since age 5 or 6, when I wrote my first book, it was a story about a rabbit. She had a vision to be a writer and to be successful. She took a risk. Determined. Determined. I want to inspire you today. Don't settle for the paycheck. Thank God for the paycheck. Thank God for your provision. But I want to encourage you to look beyond the hourly wage. Look beyond where you're at. Begin to put some of these principles in play in your life. And begin to believe God for the windows of heaven and inspiration to be opened upon you. And direct and guide you to the residual income that you desire and the blessings that you desire in your life. Unstuck. Unstuck. Sick of being sick and sick of being poor. Let the weak say, I am. And let the poor say, come on, say, I'm rich. That's Bible, folks. That's not Bob, that's Bible. They both begin with a B, but Bible's better. I am rich. It is okay to walk around and start calling those things that aren't as though they are. Stop calling yourself poor. Stop calling yourself barely get along. Literally by faith, when you do your bills, you call your checkbook full, abundant, overflowing. You call your bank account full, abundant, overflowing. You call your 401k full, abundant, overflowing, not losing money. Amen? You call your home blessed. You call your investments blessed. You start speaking to your business. Don't allow anybody to come around and speak negative about your business. Start calling your business blessed. Start calling your business one of the most profitable businesses in Gresham, one of the most profitable businesses in Portland. Thank you, Lord. We have favor. Our business has favor. We sign more contracts than any other business. Favor. And if you're not inclined to have your own business, then the business that you work for, you should do this for that. Call them blessed. They pay you, right? Call them blessed. Blessed chiropractor. Blessed office. Amen. Blessed business. Blessed daycare. Blessed restaurant that I work with. Start praying for your owners. They'll treat you better. Can you say amen? And start being the best employee you can ever be. You know what's going to happen? They're going to come. They're going to promote you. They're going to give you a raise. Because why? They see your positive attitude. They see that you're for the place, that you're not just a hireling. You're not just coming, getting your paycheck, and once the bell rings, bing, you're out of there. They see you spending a little bit more time, putting a little bit more effort in there. You know what? That sowing, that will cause the reaping to come towards you. God will begin to bless you. And you know what? If we say as a church we're changing the culture of a city with a message of hope, this changes the culture of a city. The people that you work for or the kind of boss that you are as an employer changes cultures of cities. It's not just our witness. It's not just our testimony of Christ. It's the testimony of how we do business with integrity and honesty and make the right decisions, especially in front of those who work with us and for us and that surround us. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand up. I'm getting unstuck because I'm determined. I'm determined not to be poor. Hallelujah. Determined not to be poor. Right, nurse? Praise God for a good salary for a nurse, but trade in time for money, right? If you don't work, you don't get paid, right? So how can God bless you? You know, instead of buying something that's not making you any money, buy something that you can invest in. Something you can invest in. I don't necessarily recommend that you go in business with somebody or buy something real estate-wise with somebody. Dave Ramsey doesn't suggest that either. Unless, I mean, it's 100% you are heart-to-heart connected, you know, business partners. One of the things the devil loves to do, he loves to get in between business partners and cause things to fall apart. And I remember one time I wanted to have a business partner. I was like, no, if we can't buy that piece of land, we're not buying it. And I thank God for her wisdom because I wanted it more than I should have. Hallelujah. And God will bless you. And God will bless you. I want to pray for people's finances this morning. If you feel like you're stuck and you're thinking, or you're just stuck financially and you like prayer this morning, I'm just going to ask you to come forward. The ushers can come forward and help us. And we're just going to say a general prayer over you. Something going on in your life, something going on in your finances you want prayer for. You want the unstuck prayer in your life. Come forward now. Anybody that's looking to increase, looking to go further, do more, come on forward. Just make a line straight across the front. Maybe you're doing well, but you see more. You see more potential. Maybe through the word this morning, you're thinking, okay, my eyes are being opened here. My eyes are being opened to potential in my life, financial potential, financial dreams. Hallelujah. My hope as your pastor is I love to see you prosper. Because that gives me joy that you're actually acting upon the word. And when you act upon the word, God proves himself. The word works. Amen. And so I love it when you come forward because you get determined to get unstuck. Don't have enough. Got dreams inside your heart. I am determined to get unstuck. So Father, bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I pray for every single person up here. Thank you for their steps of faith. Thank you, Lord, that they have financial dreams. I break the spirit of poverty over their thinking. I say, devil, you take your hands off of their mind. Take the hands off of their emotions or any past experiences. And I declare over their lives blessing. I thank you, Lord, you first impress upon them the importance of tithing and offerings. I thank you, Lord, that they begin to test you if they haven't already and begin to give faithfully and consistently. And as they do, Father, I thank you for the windows of heaven, inspiration, good ideas, witty inventions, investments, opportunities, divine connections will open in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, they'll begin to take steps. I bind that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. And I thank you, they'll begin to take risk. They'll begin to step out. They'll begin to decrease. They'll begin to stop thinking about liabilities and investing in stupid things. But Lord, I thank you, they'll invest in things that'll make them profitable. Their education, the books, businesses, garage businesses. Those businesses that they've already started, I thank you, Lord, I pray for them to be unstuck, Lord, in Jesus' name. If it's going on Shark Tank or if it's finding another investor, Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for those opportunities. And I thank you, Lord, that the people of City Park Church are the most blessed people in the city of Gresham. People buying homes, buying the cars of their dreams, buying investment properties. Hallelujah. Being owners and stewards of the things that, because God, you are a good, good father and you give good gifts to your children, to those who ask them. And we ask you for it now. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you, Father God. You will, in Jesus, ask for bread. You will bless us, Lord, and you will guide us and direct us in Jesus' name. Refusing to live on barely get along street. But we're moving right now, this moment, onto Prosperity Avenue. Blessing Avenue. Blessing Avenue. In Jesus' name. And I pray they begin to call those things that aren't as though they are. I call their checkbooks full. I call their bills paid. I call their debt and their credit cards paid off. In Jesus' name, I pray they understand the importance of getting rid of those cards and getting rid of that unsecured debt and how it's hurting their lives and their future. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.